Well, welcome everybody. We are in the beautiful village of Billingford today and in for a treat because we are visiting Alice Richardson and the Church of St. Peter's. And we're cheating a bit because this podcast is called Revy Steady Go, where we're exploring, visiting rural vicars around Norfolk and Waveney. But Alice isn't actually a vicar, but
no.
Has an incredible story of revitalization and renewal that's going on in the local church. So Alice, thank you for being on the podcast and tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for asking me to do this, Dave. It's a story of resurrection, I would probably call it, because my family, we moved here in COVID. And when we first moved to this village, we felt so excited to be in this house and to be in this beautiful area where we're sitting right now. And across the wall from our kitchen window sat an enormous lump of stone, a church. And it was very exciting. And so the first thing we did was carve a hole in the wall. So the wall was sort of straight across when we first moved here and we couldn't quite see the church. So what we did was we opened it up and put a scoop in the wall and put a gate in so that we could mow a path straight to the church.
Incredible.
Which was the first thing we did. And then we planted wildflowers either side of the path. And where the children, my children are currently 13, 11 and 10, but when we moved here, they were sort of 4 years younger than that. Mm. And so they would brush their teeth in the bathroom, which looks directly onto the church. And I would say to them, pray for revival. And so they would brush their teeth, pray for revival, spit. And because what I actually need to say, first of all, is that the church had been disused for several years and was in a state of disrepair. And what's completely amazing is that this building, parts of it date back to the 1300s. And so when you think of the years and years and years and centuries of families and communities and people who have gone through this building and been blessed by the Holy Spirit and blessed to be a blessing in this community, it's, you know, mind expanding, really. And to think that it had fallen into such disrepair that for one reason or another, the community that is currently here in the village hasn't been able to enter it and worship in it for many, many years. And so what happened was that the birds had moved in. Pigeons had moved into the church and the whole thing was covered in a thick crust of pigeon debris. And so we got in touch with the cleaning company. There's an amazing lady in the village who's a really, really good friend of mine. And she got in touch with this cleaning company and they came and they said, had a look at it and they said it's going to cost £25,000 to clean.
Wow, expensive pigeon debris.
Our brains fried. And not long after, about 10 minutes later, the phone rang and she was on the end of the phone and she said, the church was good to me when I was a child. I'll do it for nothing.
Wow.
And so the whole place was cleaned from top to bottom. These lads came down from Blackburn in big forensic suits and cleaned for a week. And every time they wanted another cup of tea or coffee, they rang the church bell. And across Side Trundle, across the meadow, it was January, it was frozen earth. And with my tray of tea and coffee. And somebody came out of the village, sort of like a mole from the frozen earth, you know, and said, what's that noise? We haven't heard this noise in this village for so long. And why are you doing this? And I said, well, there's so much out there in the world which is uncertain. And when I've come in here into this building, I feel a sense of peace. When are you opening up then? He said. And so Bishop Jane very kindly authorised me to be a authorised worship assistant so that we could actually lead services. Our rector, Sally, amazingly gave her blessing. And because currently in the heart of Norfolk Benefice, I think there are 9 active churches, but it's very difficult with manpower to get around them all. And so to be able to open up and hold these services was just completely amazing. And we invite our friends, we invite the village, everybody comes. It's for the last couple of years, it's been a sort of festival church where we've just done Christmas, Easter, and various other services during the year. But now we are moving to doing them once a month and sort of just really excited to kind of build and go from there.
That's incredible. What an amazing story. So exciting. And that picture of beating a path to the church door and and the wildflowers growing up, all of that speaks of the fallow land coming alive and in surprising and unexpected ways, which is so great. How long have you been doing this for? How long have these services been going for? And
so we started praying for this area about 5 years ago, and there's a little folly church, a little sort of tiny building at the bottom of the graveyard, at the bottom of the churchyard, which we started doing Christmas services in. It had no electricity, so everyone would come with a candle and standing room only. And then when we were able to clear the main church of bird debris, we could move up into the church and start doing more regular services. And so I would say the more regular services have been going for about a year, 18 months. But prior to that, we were meeting in where we now sort of keep the lawnmowers. Sorry, that's the clock. And an hour or so. We've been doing them for about a year or so,
And in terms of invitation, so inviting families, inviting people from the local community, do people come from afar or close by? Or
so I'd say one of the reasons why we started doing this was because of some of the local people in this village who were so sad that their church was no longer able to be used. Mm-hmm. And many of them have buried their husbands, wives, sisters, brothers, mothers, fathers in the churchyard. And the dream, the vision every time I saw them was, how can we get this church back on its legs? And it broke my heart. And some of these charming people who just want to have their own burial here next to their family members. We advertise in the village with just a sign up in the village a week before, and we get 30 or 40 people from the local village. And then as a family, my husband Paddy and I always invite a couple of families that we just want to bless and show them what we're doing, point them to something bigger. We want to invite people who wouldn't otherwise go to church. Mm. I grew up in London. I grew up going to church every weekend. I grew up longing for church. I grew up coming home from school and thinking, when am I going to see my friends on Sunday at church? Mm. And it's been hard over the years since then to find somewhere where I could feel like I could take my friends to church. Mm. And I long to take my friends to church and do community with them and to show them in a disillusioned and disintegrated way of the world that there is a comfort, that there is a hope, that there is something to make them get out of bed for, and there's a purpose for their lives. And the feeling that we all go away from after these services that we have everybody feels so uplifted. And even in this community of Billingford, the sense that we get from the people in this village is that this is becoming the backbone of our village life.
Wow. It's amazing and really exciting to hear. And that vision of including people and inviting people into something, they often say you build what you need. Because that's one of the ways God uses us is that kind of
I need church.
Holy discontent.
I need.
We need.
I have a holy discontent.
Yeah, and God's using that to as a vision to unsettle you to build the thing that.
And I certainly feel that every time I speak, and I try to look at what the readings are for that week, and otherwise maybe go off topic. But when I speak at these services, I'm primarily speaking to myself, and that's where my passion, that's where it comes from. That's the only way that I can come up with something to say, because I'm speaking to myself and my immediate family. And we're trying to get the children involved, so do a little action song to get the kids involved, and then every week, every time, they always lead the prayers and do the readings themselves, so there's some input from them, and just trying to sort of selfishly slightly try to get my own family, Paddy and I want our own children and our own family to live for something other than themselves, and to look outwards into the community, but primarily to look to the greater glory of God, and for that to be their source and that to be their mainstay, and for them to grow up knowing that was what was so important to us.
And that's amazing, because what they'll also see is that whatever landscape they inherit within this country, in the church, they will always know that it's possible to renew, revitalize a church, and that they have everything they need in order to step into that vision and to carry that kind of seed, that DNA that's being instilled in them is a whole life discipleship DNA and a planting DNA.
Mm. And I want to say on that note about that, that this sort of the whole kernel of this has grown because of the momentum that's built within the village. So it's just taken, we haven't done anything. All we've done is pray. The children prayed, I said, pray for revival. They brushed their teeth and spat out their toothpaste. That we just prayed for revival. And then I describe myself as a cheerleader. So all I do is cheer on other people. And the momentum that has built in the village of other people, because there's huge costs involved with the dilapidated building. People have just come forward and wanted to restore windows. There's problems with, I mean, as you would imagine, with the building dating back to the 1300s, there are problems of water on the building, so there's cracks and ongoing works that need to be done. And people are giving. People are wanting to see this beacon of light made accessible.
Wow.
And it's thanks to these other people in the village that are doing all of this.
That's so exciting. And there was an article recently in the Church Times about which you shared with me, which I read recently, was about one of the ways that we might see renewal in the local church and in these ancient spaces, which we have 658 in this diocese, is handing them to local community, local parishes, and people with such a passion as yourself and the ownership around seeing them renewed and seeing them come back to life. What's really great is seeing the mixture of the spiritual heart of worship being at the center of this renewal, as well as the respect for history and legacy and the stewardship of that ancient space as well. The two coming together gives a really amazing kind of ancient rootedness and excitement and vision for the future as a place of worship and a place of connection for the community. But it's lovely to hear of that warm heart at the center of all that's going on and that heart of discipleship that's there and lighting a fire really for people to come and gather around.
And you know, the kingdom of God is in our midst wherever we are, and so it doesn't matter if it's in that ancient building, but just bringing the kingdom to earth in every setting that we walk into. If that is my goal, if that is all of our intentions, then everywhere we're just going to create this garden on earth, like heaven. And to bring that comfort to people's lives when there's so many ups and downs and difficulties, it feels so amazing to be re-energizing and resurrecting this ancient lump of stone, as I said at the beginning, to be a place of greater glory.
Wow. I am so inspired. Normally I have lots to say, but I actually am a bit speechless. I'm excited to look around the building and to help listeners get a feel for it. If you've not visited so far, do come and visit St. Peter's in Billingford. Do pray for the work that's going on there. I hope this is a hope-filled story that people might be inspired in other places and to celebrate and encourage one another to light a fire and to create these lighthouses and to see them come back to life.
Amen.
And is it true you recently took out four more tons
of bird debris? So the bell tower is very, very, very high, and there happens to be some scaffolding up because we're fixing one of the windows that we've had a grant for. And somebody in the village said, well, whilst we've got this scaffolding up, do you think we could get an extra couple of layers so that we can access the bell tower? And so we did that. And these guys came, and it took them 2 days to knock through to get sunlight.
Wow.
Because the nest that the birds had created, it hadn't been accessed since 1981. And this nest took 2 days to get through. And then the whole thing just came down on their heads, four tons of debris. And they took away, I think it was four flatbed lorries.
Wow.
Of birds. And now we've had the sort of diocesan leader of bells to come and inspect and see what's the matter with it, because there's a feeling, there's a sense that, you know, bells are so symbolic, and just this idea, you know, it feels like a real, it's a calling, isn't it? And it's something so synonymous with medieval English in England. And it was these members of the village who said, is there any chance we could get the bells working again? And so that's now our sort of objective, and our prayer is that we can actually get the clapper, the rope that's come off the wheel, to get fixed, and so that we can start chiming out across the countryside.
Wow. I'm excited for, it's November whilst we're recording this, and I'm November 5th. I'm excited for Christmas. I feel already... Yeah. Very excited for
Well, the children are, there are several families that we invite. They keep, every time I see them, they say, when are you going to give us the script for the for the Christmas play? And last year we played Christmas bingo, and the whole place erupted with Happy Christmas on the last word that was on the bingo chart. And there was just such a feeling of chaos and joy and life as we... sort of puffed out smoke from our mouths because it was so cold. But everybody was just warmed to the core.
Wonderful image. It's wonderful that Sally Kimmis has enabled this to happen.
Exactly. Sally Kimmis, who is our local rector, we have a great relationship. It's so amazing that she has entrusted this role to us, and her vision is to see the revitalisation of the heart of Norfolk, and her vision is to see these old buildings restored and brought back to life. And it's so difficult with resource, and it's so difficult with money. And so the more that we can do to support that, the better. And she has just been incredibly supportive of everything that we've been doing here in Billingford. And it's such an honour to have her blessing, as well as the Bishop, Bishop Jane, who authorised me for this role. She is just endlessly supportive. And then, of course, I can't not mention my great friends at Weybourne. So Ian Dybul is actually I'd say he's my father-in-law. He's not, because he's my brother's father-in-law, but I would call him my absolute friend and my mentor as well, along with Adrian Walton, who is now, it's just incredible, because I just go to them with anything I've got, because I'm not trained, I'm not ordained, I'm not trained in, I did a theology degree, but that was moons ago. And so it's amazing. I just go to Adrian with all my requests for sort of technology, liturgy, readings, talks, structure. And he just absolutely supports and feeds and gives out endlessly to us here. So it's amazing.
Fantastic. It's so great to see team working so well and across parish boundaries, and resourcing one another, encouraging one another.
Encouraging.
It's exactly what we're going to see more
totally.
Of. So how fantastic. Thank you.
So amazing.
Thank you, Alice, so much for sharing the story. We'll be praying for you. And if you haven't visited, come visit, and we'll see you in the pews.
Hi, I'm Bonnie. I'm the producer of Revy Steady Go, and I'm normally behind the microphone editing, but right now I'm walking with Alice from her house to the church. Let's do it.
Let's do it. We're going to go across the meadow. As you can see here, Bonnie, we've got this sort of walled garden bit right next to the house, and when we first moved in here, we thought, let's scoop out the wall and put a gate in so that we can instantly see the church from the kitchen window while we're making our tea. I mean, what a blessing. Beautiful. And then we mowed this path down the centre of the meadow and planted wildflowers either side, and just so you can kind of get a sense as we're walking down here of kind of pilgrimage as we go from the house with the dog, who's bounding along, Rafa Nadal.
And a singular sheep in the field.
He or she has a husband or wife. I'm not sure where his husband or wife is. And they're called Rhubarb and Custard.
Amazing. That's great.
And so we're wandering down here through the meadow to this amazing old, old, ancient place, which has been here since... parts of it date back to the 1300s.
Wow.
And as I mentioned to you, it's been disused. It had been disused for many, many years. And so there was just this mounting excitement to get it reopened. And the first thing that we've done over here is we've put these little steps in to get us over the wall. Very makeshift. My husband, Paddy, We'll do anything that involves carpentry, making things, fixing things. So he's incredibly amazing and handy to have around. So he put in these makeshift steps. Down here. This door was actually closed till about a month ago because of cracks, and we were advised not to use this entrance until we'd monitored the cracks for several years, which we've now done, and the cracks haven't moved. I don't think they will have moved for hundreds of years, but we've done our sort of due diligence and we can now go into church through the main door.
Before we go into the church, I can see there's a little side chapel that's beautiful.
The little sort of folly building was once upon a time the school in the village. And so it's called the school room. And it's got no electricity in. And we've had Christmas services in there in the past before the main church was opened. And we managed to cram about 40 people in there, all with candles. And it was very special. But now we just use it to park the lawnmowers. But it could be used for... my children want to run Sunday school in it. So the padlock to the door... There we go. It is open every day, but because we've just recently had the bird debris cleared from the tower, it's quite dirty and dusty, and we just don't want anyone to kind of trip over all of the scaffolding as well.
Wow, beautiful building. It's very light and open.
And the whole thing was plastered with, it was caked like asphalt with bird debris. And we had to get it all completely cleaned up because you couldn't sit anywhere without sitting in pigeons. And we had a bonfire because there was so much stuff that had been damaged, and people from the village came and helped clear really, really old, old furniture, broken cassocks and hassocks and kneelers and all sorts of things were cleared, and the place was returned to its former glory for the glory of God. And as you can see over here, the children made a little bit of a story, and you can see from the pictures here the amount of mess that was all over the floors. And these guys who came to clean in forensic suits. It was such a fun week. It was January, it was freezing cold. But these guys had so much energy. They go around the country cleaning flour mills and town halls and churches. And they cleaned the place up. And you can see all of this that was going to the bonfire down here. And then on this side, these are the pictures where it's all been cleaned up. My son playing the guitar, just light pouring in through the windows. And many of the windows were broken because the birds had got in through holes in the windows. So what we had to do was first of all board them up temporarily, and then people amazingly generously donated to have windows restored. It's been amazing to see the generosity of so many people come forward who have a history and who have a sort of sense of belonging and ownership in this place.
It's so fresh, and you can tell that it's brand new. It's beautiful.
And over here in the bird tower, in the bell tower, we've had the scaffolding up because the window, we got a grant to fix this window, which is where most of the birds were getting in because it was so damaged. And so we put an extra layer of scaffolding in and accessed the bell tower from here, and all the debris came out. And so the prayer and hope and dream is to get the bell ringing again.